Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 7 through 15, we hear these words. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I give my advice. It is best for you now to complete what a year ago you began, not only to do, but to desire, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he has not. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their want, so that their abundance may supply your want, and there may be equality. As it is written, he who hath gathered much had nothing over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, today in this place and in this community, I know that there is pain. And I know that there is hurt. And I pray for healing, Lord. And I pray that you speak through me and in spite of me. Because pain and hurt, Lord, it needs healing. And as Paul had written to the 2 Corinthians, or his second letter to the Corinthians, they too needed healing. As Jesus had come to this earth, he too knew that they needed healing. As Moses had walked the land, they also needed healing. Heal us, Lord. Walk with us, Lord. Walk with those who feel unseen and unheard. Let them feel your presence today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was writing this week for the Wednesday Word, I struggled coming up with what I was about to write. And as I searched the lectionary and kept going over what I was going to write, I struggled. And as I kept going over things, I think in songs. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I come from a very musical family. And there was always somebody playing the piano in the house, or somebody had the radio on, or, well, for the longest time, we didn't even own a television. It had gotten struck by lightning, and we just didn't have a television for years and years. But we had a radio, and we had a piano, and we could sing. And so in Lamentations, when I first started to read that today, or this week, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faith, great is your faithfulness. And the hymn was born, Great is thy faithfulness. And sometimes we need to remember that it's us humans that change. Over and over and over again, it is us humans who change. It's us humans who need to get back on task, to need to remember what's what, who need to remember what's truly important in life. Yes, I know I'm dressed for being with a bunch of kids this afternoon, but I'm not traveling 17 miles back to Linesville to go change today. It's a good advertisement for later this afternoon, too. And by the way, that fishing hat is one that I've worn for over 25 years, being out on a tractor. This time of year, it'd be for baling hay. To my kids' chagrin, they hate that hat. And time again, that hat would end up missing, especially if they thought I was going to be wearing that in public, especially to town. But the truth is, a lot of people are hurting people. And I think about all the things and the ways that Stone has helped so many hurting people over the years, especially in their time of need. And the burden that I feel when I say I can't help is overwhelming. It almost breaks me in two. The other scripture for this week comes from the gospel. And it's about when Jesus had come to help. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and had and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, if I but touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Immediately, her hemorrhages stopped. And she felt in her body, and she was healed of her disease. And immediately he was aware that the power had gone forth from him. And Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" And he looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And while he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house, the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And they had entered. He said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but only sleeping." And they laughed at him. And then he pulled them all aside. And they took him outside. And they took the child's father and mother. And he said to those who were with him, and they went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was about 12 years old. And at this, they were overcome with amazement. You see, Jesus put himself on the line. These two people, they were women, so they were pretty low on the totem pole. And not only were they low on the totem pole as women, but they were unclean in Jewish Mosaic law. So they weren't even fit to be around other people. Because of their uncleanliness, they were not supposed to be around other people. And the woman who was hemorrhaging had the audacity to reach out and touch a man. She could have been stoned to death right there. But she acted in faith for what she had done. She acted in faith from what she had done. Jairus did the same thing. He acted in faith for what he knew Jesus could do for his daughter. And Jesus going and touching the body of a dead person makes him unclean. Do you understand that? It makes him unclean. And yet he goes and does just that. But he brings her back to life. He gives her life. There are so many ways that we can take life from people. And there were ways this week that I have heard from other folks who have been hurt by the church, not just this church, but other churches all over the place. Churches hurt people sometimes in the name of Jesus. Well, I never knew that churches were the gatekeeper of Jesus' grace and mercy. I know I'm not. I'm the one that's supposed to be pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the gatekeeper of Jesus' grace and mercy, not me. I want to tell you a story about a 17-year-old girl. Now, this happened back in the 80s, so you can imagine things were slightly different back then, but you can imagine it just the same. And back in the 80s, when a young teenage girl gets pregnant, things change. Things change. And things change in a way. Well, sometimes their families no longer accept the young girl. And back then, churches would no longer accept the young girl too. And this particular young girl, not only did a good part of her family no longer accept her, in fact, most of her family no longer accepted her. But when the church found out that she was pregnant, they asked her to no longer come back to church as well. Could you imagine that? Strangely enough, the young girl never blamed the church, because she realized the church was just made of human beings. And she looked for a long time for another church. She didn't like the Lutherans too much, and then she learned they had real wine for communion. That was weird. Checked out the Presbyterians, and that was different too. She just never found another place that accepted her or her baby. She found jobs. She finished school. Eventually, her family did accept her. She didn't become the big black eye to the family that her family told her that she was going to be. She ended up going to college. And everything turned out okay. She even found a church while she was at college that didn't know anything about her being a teenage mom, or at least they didn't let on. They just knew she was a mom and that was going to college and worked and let the baby come to the nursery while she worshiped. Eventually, she graduated and got a job and went back to the area that she had been from. And it's funny how folks get amnesia. But they welcomed her and the little boy back and welcomed her back to the place where she had been from. It's funny how they do that. Even asked her if she would consider teaching Sunday school again. She did. Even sang in the choir. Eventually joined the SBRC. She eventually got married. She eventually had a few other kids. Became a teacher. Became a pastor. And stands in front of you today. You see, God heals. And sometimes humans make mistakes. And it's not us that are the gatekeepers of God's grace. Now I know that this place, and I've been here now exactly 1 year tomorrow. 1 year tomorrow. Now that's pretty good, I think. And there's been a lot of changes, and there's been some things that have stayed the same. And there's been some really neat things that have happened. And there's been some pretty special things that have happened. But I still wake up every morning looking forward to coming here every morning. And I also know that there's still more work to be done. And as I go through the hidey holes of this place and find all the little nifty neato things that sometimes I can reinvent and reuse. Do you know there are spools of ribbon here that are from probably the 1970s that I haven't seen used since the 1970s? Yeah. But there are all kinds of really neat new things happening, like this afternoon with this partnership with Wesley Woods. God's still got vision going on here. Just like God had vision for the Corinthians. And God had vision when he sent Jesus into this world as a human being. God being coming in human form to this place of earth that he had created. God's faithful. And it doesn't matter if I'm dressed in pastor clothes or dressed like a person ready to go to camp. What matters is if we show up and if we're present and we're ready to go and we're ready to serve. Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to put your arm around somebody and love them right where they are right now? Because that's what that woman needed who was hemorrhaging. That's what that little girl needed who was dead. That's what the woman who was crying in the office the other day needed, was just somebody to put an arm around her and just let her know that she was seen. That's what the father needed to know, that I saw their kids. The person who was hungry knew that I saw him, that they were hungry, and that they could find some food. When they dropped the children off upstairs, they knew the kids were going to be safe. When somebody signed their kids up for Out of the Woods this week, signed their grandkids up this week, they knew that they were going to get a little bit of Jesus this week. Are you ready? Are you ready to give those things to the people that need them? Are you ready to give that to no matter who needs it? Let's pray. Lord God, you have made us for a time such as this. Right here, right now, in this place. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our minds. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Give us the words when we're to use them, and give us the will to withhold the words when we're not. But give us presence. Give us love. And as Paul said, give us kindness and patience and love. I pray this today in the ever abundant mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.